on Jazz FM. This is The Business Breakfast with Owanda. Online trading, currency data, money transfers.
Greg Ellam joins us. Very good morning, Craig. Difficult not to be glum, obviously. Let's talk about the markets, first of all, and a big plunge as far as the Dow was concerned last night. However, looking at the futures markets this morning, it's expected to reclaim a bit of that lost ground. Volatility, second wave engulfing, all those kind of headlines, really. Any bright spots anywhere?
I mean, like you say, you don't want to make the show too glum, but there is a lot of negativity in these markets. But the problem that we've got is that this negativity hasn't come out of nowhere. It's been very apparent that there's been massive downside risk for some time. In fact, I'm pretty sure we've spoken on the show almost about this every single week, whether the downside risk is going to be a second wave, whether the downside risk is a lack of stimulus in the US, which looks like it's not materialized prior to Election Day. Election Day itself and all of the uncertainty that brings. Brexit seems to be one of the few potential upside risks for some of these markets, but unfortunately that's extremely regional as far as the UK is concerned and to an extent the EU. But it just seems that it's now materialising, and if anything it feels like the COVID situation, while it is moving in the direction that many of the experts warned, it's probably happening earlier and more severely than many of the rest of us had anticipated, and I think that's really taking its toll.
It's quite a move for Germany and France to shut down as well, isn't it? I mean, that actually, you know, those are, whether we like it or not, the two largest economies in the EU, aren't they?
Exactly, but when you look at the kind of pace of new infections, and I know there's still a lot of people who argue that that we're better at handling it now, that the treatment's better and that the death rate is still lower than it was, etc., 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 but that doesn't mean that you can just continue to see rising infections at that kind of rate forever and not expect to see it take a massive toll, particularly on the health service, but then in terms of the end result. And many of these countries are now starting to try and look more restrictive measures, and it's difficult to see more countries not following suit. In all honesty, the way that these trends are heading, we may be better placed to deal with the virus this time around, but that doesn't mean that we're on top of it by any stretch of the imagination. And it is going to take its toll. It's going to take its toll on these economies. It's going to take its tolls on debt levels, because government support measures are going to be necessary. And it's ultimately going to take its toll on the markets. We're seeing that now. I don't necessarily think we're going to see a similar response that we saw in March, because it's not the unknown quantity to the same extent that it was back in March. We know what the fiscal response is going to be, which we didn't know in March. We know what the monetary response is in terms of central banks is going to be. And the Fed did a very good job of getting a grip of this back around March time and coordinating with central banks around the world.
That was going to be my next question. Just take us through that slightly in a bit more detail, would you, about the Fed? I mean, they have always, you know, all right, I know they're the US central bank, but at the same time, they're incredibly important for the rest of the world in terms of what central banks actually do. We sort of know that. You feel as though that they are still a backstop to what's going on, do you?
As far as financial markets are concerned, absolutely. You're not going to be able to always stop certain stocks coming under heavy pressure, those most vulnerable, and you may see that a little bit more to a certain extent in certain areas this time around. But the central bank, in terms of the entire market, I can say the plumbing of the financial markets, as it were, they did an extremely good job. They ensured that dollar funding was abundant, was widely available and cheap, because obviously the dollar is effectively the world's reserve currency, and therefore they need to make sure that the countries around the world continue to be able to access it easily, and they did that. They targeted certain parts of the financial markets, which were seeing credit conditions tighten considerably. And ultimately, this is something that can effectively lead to something far worse. If credit conditions tighten and interest rates effectively spike in certain pockets of the economy or in certain pockets of these markets, it can effectively be a domino effect and start to lead to something far worse. And that's something that the Fed did. They implemented very niche, very targeted measures earlier on this year and stopped anything much worse materializing, which is why one of the reasons why we saw such an impressive bounce back in these markets. And they're going to have to be very active again if this is going to start to take off. But I think there is going to be that confidence there and that encouragement there from their actions earlier this year and investors. So yes, we saw a big sell-off yesterday, but we're coming from record highs in the US. Let's not earlier this week, but in the last month or two, we are coming from record highs in the US because they bounced back so strongly. So a corrective move, it would not necessarily be catastrophic by any stretch of the imagination. And if anything, it would represent the situation that we have, but I don't necessarily think we're going to be seeing 20, 30, 40% declines in these markets.
Let's talk about the UK. As this month comes to an end in a couple of days' time, furlough stops and all the rest of it, 500,000 businesses say they're under extreme pressure. That is defined, apparently, as facing counter-court judgments of about £5,000 or less from suppliers and all the rest of it. Redundancies will creep up, and we are looking at a period, aren't we, of high unemployment, whichever way the markets actually go.
That is the fear. The government's first furlough scheme, etc., I think went a long way, and the business support scheme went a long way to supporting many businesses and jobs. The difficulty is that businesses still suffered. They just it was just effectively shared with the government, and the government continued to prop up these viable businesses, and they're going to have to do a lot more, unfortunately, this time around again if they want to preserve. But the problem is this next wave may just be the kind of straw that breaks the camel's back, and I do fear that regardless of what the government does, there is going to be collateral damage this time around. I mean, how many waves of this pandemic can these businesses continue to tolerate, and how many jobs can they continue to support?
Is it now time for somebody to say what you've just said to the population slightly more widely and say, do you know what, this is pointless, this kind of choppy volatility, off, on, lock up, lockdown, all the rest of it. We're going to have to learn to live with it. Let's go off on a tack of learning to live with this pandemic, because we learnt to live with flu, didn't we? You know, if you look at what was happening 100 years ago, not that it's part of your diary necessarily, but, you know, if you look at the way things have actually gone, you know, these things happened. There was a wave of death, unfortunately, but we got over it. You know, we got to handle it. Do you feel as though it's about time for somebody to say, do you know what? There isn't going to be a virus. There isn't going to be a vaccine. It's there's going to be nothing necessarily affected. There's going to be a huge swathe of the population, even if there were one, that's not going to get anything before the end of next year. I mean, that's the reality, isn't it?
Yeah, it seems that the middle of next year is the most optimistic point when the vast majority of us are going to start being able to access a vaccine. So the second wave is going to be far worse than the first, it appears. There's no reason why we couldn't see a third wave again before a vaccine becomes more widely available. So to an extent, it is something that we are going to have to live with. But unfortunately, the government is still going to have to do something to preserve as many jobs as possible, because the simple fact of the matter is we can't afford to get to the end of next year and have 25% unemployment. We can't afford to have all these businesses all these shops with shutters down that aren't coming back up for a very long time. Because all of a sudden then an 18-month, two-year pandemic that's ravaged economies effectively takes its toll for an entire decade or longer.
Finally, talking about affordability, what about negative interest rates? Do you feel as though the noise for that's going to get louder? Because it sort of tends to rise, doesn't it, and then disappears, depending on whether the Bank of England wants to talk about it or not.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be more noise, and it's maybe even more possible that it's going to happen. Again, I'm not a fan of negative interest rates. I'm yet to hear a convincing reason why it's worthwhile and why the benefits offset the risks and what the benefits actually ultimately are, because we're never talking about massively negative interest rates. We're not talking about a 3% interest rate cut. We're talking about a 0.1, 0.2% interest rate cut. It doesn't really seem worthwhile for me. I think there's other things that the central bank can do, but also it's a reminder that the central banks are at their extremes even still. So anything that we are going to see is going to be extremely niche, and it is going to be extremely targeted, and that's all the more reason why the pressure, the heavy lifting is going to fall on governments this time around, because the central banks are right at the extent of what they can ultimately achieve, especially non-Federal Reserve central banks.
Craig Earlham, thank you very much indeed.
The Business Breakfast on Jazz FM with Owanda. Online trading, currency data, money transfers.